Welcome to this week's podcast. This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy, Digital Content Manager. This week, I speak to Carol Harris, author of the second edition of Networking for Success. Carol has a distinguished career, including being an author, coach, mentor. Listen to the podcast and learn more. Take care. Bye.
Hi, Carol. You're very welcome to this week's podcast. Can you firstly tell me what inspired you to start your business and also to write the second edition of Networking for Success, which I'm actually holding in my hand and I read and I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's excellent. Lovely to be here, Rosemary. It was a bit of a checkered history because I never set out to start a business. In fact, I doubt I've planned anything in my life. Things have happened and I tend to get waylaid by ideas of different sorts. And so as things come across my horizon, I tend to follow them. The first time I set up a business was actually after I'd left one job. I'd moved to London from where we were living, didn't have another job to go to, thought I'd start something up. And my intention at that stage was something quite different. And I was going to set up a little art gallery. My mother was a portrait sculptor, my sister is an artist, and I was going to set up a little gallery and sell paintings or lease paintings and sculpture to companies. So we set aside a room, got it all ready, and then found dry rot. So that couldn't go ahead for the time being. And in the meantime, I'd met somebody who was a radiographer, and she said, why don't we go into business together? So we ended up setting up an agency for radiographers, which I knew nothing about, but I did the business side and she did the techie side. And what was interesting is how different it was in those days, because I went to the bank and said, we're going to start a business. We need some money. And the bank manager asked one question. How much?
That was it.
No business plan, nothing, just how much would you like? So that was the first one. And then several years later, I'd actually gone back to being employed. I was one of the directors of the Arts Council in London. Effectively made myself redundant from that job. And I hadn't again, intended to set up a business. I was thinking I'd like to have a job as a CEO of a small organisation. So I applied for various things. I was always shortlisted to the last two or possibly three. And then I didn't get the job because in those days, possibly still now, they wanted people with, firstly, management experience and, secondly, external PR experience. I didn't have the latter, although that's largely what I do nowadays. So at that point, I thought, well, if this isn't working, I'll set up something myself. So that was how that happened. And then I started doing corporate training and management consultancy. So I'm publishing. So it wasn't really planned. And the books, again, it was very different in those days because when I wrote the first edition of the networking book, I was approached by actually an Irish publisher to see if I could do a book on networking. Because in those days, publishers would approach me and offer money. I mean, it was a different world. So I did that one. But 20 years ago, we didn't have video conferencing and we didn't have social media or, you know, it was very, very microscopic. And so when I looked at the book recently, because I thought I need to redo this because networking, particularly online, has got so popular, I think I ought to get this book out again. But a lot of it wasn't relevant still. So there was a bit of rewriting to do.
What I really liked is, as they say, if you tell a story, people actually remember things. And how you incorporated the offline world and the online world, because a lot of people seem to forget you're still dealing with people, people behave a certain way. And you told stories that made it very easy to understand that you could put yourself into the context of being in the right circle with the right people where you have an affinity. Because if you have affinity, it's much easier to get things done and achieve and all those kind of things. And then explaining different ways how to do it, which is now, obviously, you believe very strongly in networking, offline and online. Can you explain why you feel so strongly about it and why you believe it is vital for businesses to grow now?
I mean, there's so many reasons. I think one important thing is that most businesses grow through contacts and associations. They don't go with one person sitting in a cardboard box trying to change the world. You need to contact and be in touch with other people, relate to people, learn from them, get ideas, help people, be supportive, build relationships. And you can do all that through networking. So what it gives you is new contacts, new ideas, potentially new associates if you're trying to build something where you need other people. Another really important thing about it is that it's usually very inexpensive. If you think about what you might have to spend on marketing and promoting what you do, in other ways, by doing networking, you can very often bypass a lot of that and simply make contacts which are then very productive. But it has to be a two-way process. And I think what happens is very often people just think, well, what can I get from this? Rather than what can I contribute to it?
Yeah, or talk at you rather than to you.
Yes. Yes. And you see, one thing, there's one business I'm involved in. Before COVID, we ran lots of open meetings to which visitors would come. And we always had a little saying, if you're not very experienced, you need the meeting. If you are experienced, the meeting needs you. So yeah. Either way, come.
Yeah, very, very much so. Because, you know, it can be a situation where somebody just needs help or they're looking for someone to help them do work. It could be even someone giving you an idea of a new product or service or something you haven't thought. Because it's amazing in conversation how many new opportunities we all can find. Or, for example, COVID happened and people all had to learn how to use new technology who weren't used it. And then someone else in the same situation to help build confidence and all. Like, I do work for therapists and an awful lot of them were feeling all this technology. That's not what I signed up for. But by them working together, they build confidence, and they did this through networking, and then they continued to work during COVID, which was brilliant. So that's just another example how networking can work. Now, what would your best tips for doing it effectively? Because obviously time is precious for business people, and if you're going to give X hours in your day or time in your day, you want to be getting some results.
That's right. So I think the first thing is think of it as part of a strategy. So if you're running a business, have some idea as to what you want the business to be doing, what sort of areas you want to operate in, what sort of activities you want to engage in, what results you expect. And networking should fit with it. It's not kind of an add-on, and it's not a kind of standalone. It's something which really ought to be part of your business strategy. So think about it in those terms. So I think that's the first thing. Second thing is be selective about what you do, both in terms of allocating time and what you attend, because it's so easy now to spend your entire time networking. In fact, I had a couple of months off recently because I was spending too much time doing it. It was great. But actually, it was too much time. So I kind of stepped back a bit and reviewed what I was doing. Be selective and choose networking groups, events, activities, which fit with who you are, your interests, your business interests, what you want to do, what works for you. Because there's a lot out there, but it doesn't all work in the same way for everybody. So I think be selective. And think about how you spend your time, because it's so easy for it to get out of hand, or equally not to do too much. And I think a key thing is when you think about networking, there are the events, there are regular meetings, there are breakfast meetings, there are evening meetings, there's one-offs, there are weekly things, there's all sorts of stuff out there. But actually, a lot of what happens is after the meeting. So you can make contacts at the meetings, but then you need to follow up. And I think one of the problems is that people forget that takes time and they forget to build it into their systems. So if you're going to follow up, that means you need to remember who people are and why you might want to talk to them, or why they might want to talk to you, and make some notes about who they are, and then put it on a system. I'm the world's worst at that, because admin's my thing, and I have to really work hard at making notes quickly so I remember who I'm contacting and why, and then put the time in your diary as well for follow-ups, because that's again another little saying in some businesses: the fortune's in the follow-up. It's not how many names can I collect and put on a database, it's how many relationships can I build with people. And that takes place usually outside the meetings.
Oh, so yeah, really very true.
The whole thing.
Yeah, because I find an awful lot of it, when you talk to someone again, they ask you the questions, or the questions they don't necessarily think of at the time. And that is where the business is. Now, one thing, especially I found it with therapists, for instance, they found it having to do this online networking could for some people be very stressful, because people want to look after people and help people, but they're not necessarily people who want to be front of stage or whatever phrase. And in your book, you actually address areas like confidence and how you portray yourself and come out as well as you can, because obviously if we're confident, that instills trust, and if that instills trust, it's easier to get business. So can you kind of address that, like how people can come out well, be confident with their networking as well?
Yes, I think that there's a number of ways people can do that sort of thing. I think the first thing is, work within your comfort zone. Now, it's great to get outside it at some point, but to start with, talk about the things you're knowledgeable about. Ask people questions that are relevant to something you know about. So if I talk to people about presenting, and sometimes they'll say, oh, I don't think I can stand up and do a presentation. And I say to them, okay, can you just, from where you're sitting, tell me about your kitchen. Why? Just tell me a bit about your kitchen. And they can all do that because they all know about their kitchen. They know where the cutlery drawer is. They know what sort of kettle they've got. They know if there's a window, what it looks out onto. So they're perfectly comfortable talking about their kitchen. And if I said, okay, now let's talk about rocket science, no, of course they wouldn't be. So when you think about what you might say, have a few notes of things that you know about. You're probably going to be asked to say a bit about yourself. Don't just make it up on the spot. Have two or three things, no more, that you are comfortable talking about and that you're knowledgeable about. A second thing is really simple, and that is manage your breathing. It's a completely different sort of thing. But very often people hold their breath when they get anxious. Then they can't speak and they can't function. So just breathe. And have pauses, because if you pause, people won't think you don't know what you're talking about. They think you're quite confident because you're able to stop for a moment and then carry on. Need only be a second or two. But during that second or two, you can take a breath. And if you get some oxygen, it will really help. And then sit in a comfortable position. And again, people sort of tie themselves in knots, wondering how to sit, you know, sit comfortably, have something, you know, relax your shoulders, do things that are going to make you physically comfortable. And then be okay with saying you don't know something. If somebody asks you a question and you can't answer it, even if you think maybe you should know the answer, just it's okay to say, actually, you know, can I get back to you on that? I just want to check something. And Can I send you an email about it? I'll give you a call, or, you know, can we speak about this another time? You don't have to know the answer to everything. But the important thing, I think, is ask people questions, talk to other people. It's much easier to feel comfortable if the spotlight's not on you. If you're talking, the spotlight is on you. If you're asking questions, and they're interesting questions, actually, nobody's thinking about you. They're thinking about what's the question. And how am I going to answer it? I mean, there's lots more, but, you know, just a few thoughts.
Yeah. And also, if someone asks an interesting question to you, you're inclined to remember the person as well.
Yes.
Yeah. And it opens a conversation.
That's right. I think one of the biggest mistakes people make when they are networking is they keep talking. They don't listen enough. They don't question enough. And they think people, you know, there's 5 million things about my business. I need to get at least 4 million of them in this minute. Well, you can't. And people won't remember it. Tell them one interesting thing. You know, you mentioned stories earlier.
Yeah.
Tell them something. I used to very often go to networking meetings. I'd drive there. I'd have the radio on. And there was usually something on the radio that I would then mention in the meeting. So I hadn't actually planned what I was going to do. But there'd be something on the news or something on a different programme. And I think, gosh, that sort of relates to what we're doing or to my business or to other people. I'll tell them about that.
Yeah.
So you're saying something different each time.
No, I agree. And also, like, I would find, if this is me personally, but if someone kind of said they could do everything, the kitchen sink included, I would kind of say, I'm not good at everything, so it would make me uneasy if it was someone I didn't know. Where if somebody is precise and can say, I do 1, 2, 3, and they seem to be authoritative about that, they at a later stage can tell me something else and introduce something else they can do, and it'll have credibility. But it's like a headline in a newspaper. To have the right headline to get your attention, to open the door, so we can network and we can help each other as well. So
there's, and actually, I've changed how I do things probably reasonably recently, in that very often I'm not even concerned about whether I tell people what I do. What I want is to establish a point of contact, to kind of build some sort of relationship. So it's about finding that point of contact with people so that we can then meet up afterwards and have a chat. And then I can tell them. You don't have to do everything at the beginning. And people tend to be more interested in people than products. You know, you go on the internet, most products, there's not just one supplier, there's dozens. And what makes it different very often is the people involved. So if you think, how can I relate to somebody rather than how can I sell something? Because you don't sell things at networking meetings. It doesn't work.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It is an introduction to open the door. Sales is a process. It's one step at the time. Firstly, people need to be aware of who you are. And then you have to build trust. And that eventually is a sale, which I would agree with you. Now, your recommendations, we know COVID has been here. What would your recommendations for businesses to try during COVID and when COVID passes for businesses to thrive as well?
Okay, so I think the first thing is, COVID or not, stay with things that motivate you. Because if it's something you enjoy, it's going to be so much easier to do it. And particularly with COVID, because if you're doing something you don't enjoy, it's going to be even harder in this sort of time. So it's really worth questioning, which bits of what I do I really like? Which bits do I absolutely have to do? Are there any bits I can delegate or swap so that ideally you're doing what it is you want to do? Now, if your business has taken a bit of a nosedive, that probably means you've got more time. Use that time to do the things you haven't been able to do because you've been putting them off. And I have a little rule of thumb about this, because if I talk to people about time management, I say, if you have a piece of paper on your desk or something on your computer or whatever, but there's something that you haven't done and it's been there for a week and you've had some time, that is not a time management issue. That is a motivation issue. You need to really be thinking, do I want to do this? And if not, get rid of it and do something else, because you can't spend decades doing things that you can't bear. But very often, if your business has taken a nosedive, it frees up time. Use it, learn some new skills, improve your systems, get round to the tasks you've been putting off. grow some new relationships, because everything goes in cycles. Things will get better at some point. And then you're much better equipped. You've got a better foundation. So I think it's about making the most of it. And sometimes there are new opportunities. I mean, I've actually quite liked what's been happening over the past year or two, because I live in a rural area. Now, to get to a networking meeting, it takes about an hour. So it's a half a day to do a meeting. And the same with any other kind of business meeting or event or whatever, takes a lot of time. And because a lot's gone online, I have a lot more time to do things than I had before. Now, I'm quite fortunate in that a lot of my business, in fact, most of it can be done from home. I know that's not the same for everybody. But I doubt I'd have tackled that if it hadn't been for COVID. I'd have carried on spending a half a day going to a 1 hour meeting.
Yeah.
And not really thought twice about it.
And the point you said about skills is a very relevant one, because if you actually even know what skills are trending, etc., that can give you an awful lot of good ideas of services or products, you know, because a lot of there might be a skill, but there can be a service related to the skill and vice versa. And that has opened an awful lot of opportunities during COVID. The freelance space, for instance, we now have virtual photographers. So you're saying about not going to networking meetings, now people can do your branding photography and you actually don't leave your home.
That is absolutely, yes,
of opportunities that have. And people don't necessarily now who have experienced that don't necessarily decide they want to go off for a branding shoot in a different location and lose time and everything. So yes. That is very relevant. Very good tips there.
And I'd just add one other little thing to it. And that is the other thing that I think has improved is globalization. So, I mean, I can now work with or talk to people pretty much anywhere. Now, I could do it before, but it wasn't that conventional, and it would often be phone calls or conference calls, or it might be Skype, and then things drop out. So at the moment, it's much easier to just talk to people in any part of the world, and you can expand your business in that sort of way. So I think it has brought some opportunities that probably would have happened at some point, but I think they've just happened much faster because of what's been going on.
Yeah, and also it has speeded up technology, that it's an awful lot more easy to use, because I've been working remotely, except it wouldn't have been called remote work. I would have thought I was working on the go and different things when I started, which is a long time ago. But the technology then wasn't as friendly and easy, and it also allows for people who aren't techie that they can use it, where back then it wasn't as easy to use and terrified people, where now if you can give people baby steps, it's easy enough even to the most non-techie person to give them the confidence to do it, which is also another thing.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I laugh at myself sometimes, well, quite often actually, but that's another issue. But I'm absolutely non-techie. And I found myself last week talking to somebody about how to use Zoom. And I thought, I couldn't imagine doing that 2 years ago. Couldn't have imagined even using it myself, let alone telling somebody else. But it is simple.
Yeah.
So I think if you can get people over that sort of initial apprehension, the world's their oyster.
Oh, yeah, it's great. And like my dad uses Zoom now, and and my family are a lot of them are abroad. So it's absolutely great, because it's not just for business. It's open doors in all kinds of different ways, which is great. So, Carol, thank you very much. I will write a blog post. And I'll also, in the blog post, mention about your newsletter. So I believe you've a new newsletter, and in it there's going to be lots of freebies, and I'll be reading your newsletter, learning about all the lovely freebies that you'll be offering for 2021, 2022, and wishing you continued success with your business.
Thanks so much, Rosemary. It's been lovely being here, and hope people have found it useful. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Many thanks for listening to this podcast. This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy from digitalcontentmanager.ie. I work for service providers, health and wellness professionals. I design WordPress websites. I offer skills workshops to help you overcome the overwhelm of the online world. So why not contact me and let's have a chat, and you can discover how I can help you and your business. This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy from digitalcontentmanager.ie and wishing you success now and going forward.